Did Jesus have a thing called my will, which had to be rent like the veil? He certainly did. You see it most clearly in Gethsemane, where it wasn't so easy. It was my will versus the Father's will. What was Jesus' will? I don't want to drink this cup. That was His will. What was the Father's will? You must drink the cup. Was the battle over in 1 second? No. He struggled for 1 hour. He asked other people to pray for Him. Father, let this cup pass from me. That was His will. But not my will, but thine be done. And it's not only in Gethsemane. All through His earthly life, He said no to His own will. No, 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 no. Right from childhood. That's how the veil was rent. In every area where there was an opportunity for Him to do His will, and it was contrary to the Father's will, He denied His will and did the Father's will. That was the cross that Jesus bore for 33 and a half years. So the veil, in a sense, if you were to use picture language, that veil was being rent little by little by little over 33 and a half years. Finally, when He sat on the cross, it is finished. The whole thing was torn from heaven. It was a testimony from heaven. My Son has covered the whole range of human temptation by denying His own will in every single area. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Listen to Him. And the veil was opened. That is the new and living way into the most holy place. Today I don't have to rend the veil. It's already been rent, but I have to walk that way of the rent veil. What is the way of the rent veil? Where Jesus has gone as a forerunner. How did He run this race? Not my will, thy will. Not my will, but thy will. It's like in the military, they say left, right, left, right. That's how Jesus lived. Not my will, but thy will. Not my will, but thy will. That's how He walked this, ran this race along the way. And He says, if anyone will come after me, let him do the same. Deny his own will. Deny himself. Take up the cross and follow me. And where I am, there will also my servant be. That's what He said in John 12. Where I am, there will also my servant be in the most holy place. I praise the Lord for this revelation. It changed my life. I saw there was a way that Jesus, my forerunner, opened up for me where I could live in the Father's presence every single day and enjoy fullness of joy, freedom from anxiety, and the peace of heaven, and not hanker after the pig's food I had eaten anymore. Because now I wasn't eating from the Father's table. You know, there it's not just young people. There are a lot of older people. Probably a lot of you sitting here. If you're absolutely honest. Absolutely honest. You're not eating at the Father's table. Sometimes you take a little taste of the pig's food. You're hungry. You're not satisfied. I want to show you there's a better way. The way of the rent veil. It's the way of self-denial. Where my will crosses God's will. That's the cross on which I have to die. To my will. There is absolutely no other way to follow Jesus. If you want to do your own will, make your own plans, live for your ambitions, brother, you might as well say goodbye to ever having a hope of living in the most holy place. You'll just be one of these third-rate, good-for-nothing, useless Christians, and there are millions of them in many, many churches. And if you want to live like that, you can. There are millions of third-rate, good-for-nothing, useless Christians who do exactly what pleases them. And they've got a little bit of a religious whitewash, sing religious songs, and think they are wonderful Christians. They may come for conferences like this to show that they are interested. They won't pay the price of denying their will, giving up their plans and ambitions and desires, and say, Lord, in no area do I want my will. I want your will. And they say, isn't there a cheaper way? Isn't there a cheaper way without such a cost to go into the most holy place? Sorry, brother, there is no cheaper way. You have to pay the price. That's why Jesus said, sit down and count the cost. Don't start the building and then discover, hey, I don't want to pay this price. Like the man who wanted to build a tower and never counted the cost, and he just laid the foundation and stopped. Do you know there are millions of Christians like that. Because some foolish evangelist just told them, just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and you're okay. Never told them how to be a disciple. Never told them that they have to deny themselves every day from now on. I know so many people who come to our church in Bangalore and say, Brother Zach, I thought we were born again before we came here. After I hear you, I seriously doubt whether I'm even born again. I say, good. But now you are born again, right? Yes. And that's because in the olden days, those preachers used to, first of all, they hardly ever talked about repentance. They only said, believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus. And they separated what God had joined together, repent and believe in Jesus. And even if they did speak about repentance, they never told us what repentance was. Repentance is a turning away from sin, but we didn't tell us what sin was. So we gave up our gambling and our drinking and our smoking, and we thought we had given up sin. And we lived for ourselves. What are they saved from? Yeah, certainly not saved from sin. And that's the condition of most so-called evangelical, so-called in quotes born-again Christians. Do you think they're following Jesus? Is there supposed to be some born-again Christian who doesn't want to follow Jesus? I've never heard of such a thing. I always say the day you're born again is like a marriage taking place. You're married to Christ. When my wife got married to me, she changed her name, gave up all her ambitions, and decided to go with me wherever I was. I mean, that's what your wife did too. I hope so. Well, that's what we're supposed to do when we give our life to Christ. And what type of wife is this who makes all the vows at the marriage altar and then says goodbye to her husband and goes off to do her own thing? Have you ever heard of a wife like that? Would you be happy with a wife like that? Who went through all the marriage vows and then as soon as the wedding was over, she said goodbye and said, I've got to do my own thing. I'll see you once in a while. Sunday mornings, I'll see you. And that's how many Christians are. They say, I've given my life to Christ. Okay, brother, sister, what are you going to do from now on? Oh, I've got a lot of plans and ambitions. Are you going to give them all up? No, of course not. I'm going to do that. I've got plans to make a lot of money and I've got plans to go here and there. Yeah, are you going to consult your new husband, Jesus Christ, about it? Oh no, he'll mess up all my plans. I've got my own plans. But I will go to church and I'll give a little bit of money for missionary work. And I'll do a little bit. I'll give my token. I'll sing a few songs and read the Bible. Oh yes, I'll read the Bible. I'll listen to messages. But to give up my will and my plans and my ambitions, I haven't even thought of that. What do you get married for? Such people are not the bride of Jesus Christ. They are admirers. Oh, Jesus, he is so holy. How he took up the cross and died. You know, I tell people, listen, if you admire Jesus, do you know what you're doing when you partake of the breaking of bread? when you take part in what they call Holy Communion, you're breaking the bread and drinking the cup, you're saying, Lord, as you died, I want to die. I want to break the bread and eat it. I want to drink of that cup to say that I want to share in your death. Death to what? You died to your own will and ambitions and plans every day. I am also eating this to say, I want to die to my will and my plans and my ambitions and to follow you. But if that's not true, you're telling a lie to God every time you break bread. I'm sorry to say, I told lies to God when I broke bread for so many years till God opened my blind eyes to show me what it meant. But for many years now, more than 30 years, I have meant it every time I break bread. I say, Lord, I don't want to do my own will. I want to do your will. And I say to people in my church too, if that is not your desire, if you're only admiring Jesus, oh, what a wonderful life he lived. When the bread comes to you, you say, oh Lord, this is wonderful, but I can't touch it. Pass it to the next person. Don't touch it. Certainly don't put it in your mouth and eat it, because you'd be telling a lie. You have absolutely zero desire to give up your own will and your pleasure. What do you mean by breaking bread and telling a lie to God? Let me turn you to Romans 15 and verse 3. Jesus Christ did not please himself. He never pleased himself. His only ambition was to please the Father. He had no other desire. And he's gathering people on earth today and has been for 20 centuries. People who want to follow him, who do not want to please themselves. That means they don't want to do their own will, they want to do the will of God.